The 98th annual Toy Fair in New York is providing a glimpse of what might be under the tree next Christmas. More than 2,000 companies and 27,000 buyers are checking out the new offerings. Growth in the $20 billion industry is down 1.4% this year, the first downturn in a long time. Some of the big toy companies, such as Hasbro and Mattel, are emphasizing fewer toys. The Toy Fair is closed to the public, especially children, but NPR's Margo Adler got to look around.
The easiest thing to do at Toy Fair is to focus on the bazaar, and there's plenty of it. 50 different robot animals, actors paid to impersonate action figures. But the truth is, no one knows what will make a new toy take off, and often kids use toys in ways different than the designer's intention. No one could have predicted the success of the Razor scooter, or the Leap Pad, LeapFrog's learning device that won this year's Toy of the Year award. Judy Ellis knows this better than anyone. She is the founder of the only college degree program in toy design at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Fiercely competitive, the program only takes 20 students at a time, and many have previous degrees or experience in industrial design or architecture. The shelves in Judy Ellis's office are stuffed with toys.
This is a hamster, and his name is
Scatter. Scatter the hamster. Next to him
he's a mole. Isn't he wonderful?
Are all these toys that I see all around the room prototypes that students have designed over the years?
Either prototypes that were made in the model making shop here, or pieces that were actually designed and manufactured by our 160 alumni that are now working in the industry all over the world.
And what kind of students end up doing this?
The one thing I would say about our students is that they're all curious. They all have a sense of humor. They're all kind of adventurous and daring.
Her students design soft toys, illustrate children's books. But before making toys or books, she says, they spend time looking for the child within.
First, we sit around, we read storybooks. We sort of go back into a more childlike place. We talk to ourselves. They have to actually get up and talk about their character, who it is, as if it's them, their friends, where they sleep, you know, what's the family like, what does the room look like, even if that's never in the book.
One of her students, Ben Lee, demonstrates a very simple preschool toy he developed.
You can see when you move the handle, the pilot moves and also the propeller moves.
So, in other words, you can sort of hold it, hold both of the handles,
right,
and kind of go zoom, zoom around the room the way.
Right, yeah.
Jackson Tam says he prefers toy design to his original field, architecture, although he says toy design is harder and has more deadlines. He's writing a beautifully illustrated, complex 3D book involving a chinchilla and a bunch of conspiratorial rabbits. He spent months finding the right computer program to create the chinchilla's fur. The fictional world of the creatures is very industrial.
I like the fur contrast against all these machines and stuff. So the rabbits are driving carrots. The chinchilla has a vehicle with big feet. This is a rabbit convention center. They have a secret underground base. They also have a Starbucks-type restaurant where they get their funds for their secret agenda.
At this year's Toy Fair, Ellis's students are making the rounds. They are interviewing with companies for jobs. Ellis takes me through the Javits Center so I can look at toys through her eyes, stopping by some of her favorite companies. She stops by VTech, an electronics company, to talk to Scott McElvain, who has interviewed many of her graduates. He points to a simple preschool object, the Sort and Go car.
This item provides a lot of value, even if the electronics aren't turned on. It's a shape sorter. It's sort of a role play. I'm driving my car.
That's what's really special about the VTech product, is that it's a great toy to begin with, and then the electronics are added, and if you never use them, you'd be fine.
Moving on, she passes positive judgment over a set of interchangeable musical blocks that can teach children to play with classical music and jazz. She gives mixed reviews to a toy that teaches language to preschoolers but looks like a hot water bottle.
Puts a little animal in, it tells you who they are. It you can have a conversation back and forth with the animal. It's a nice way for a child to learn different languages. But in terms of the visual appearance, it's not exactly fun.
A few flights up in the Javits Center, we go by Alex, the arts and crafts company. The booth's wild colors and patterns draw you in. Nurit Abdur, the CEO of Alex, greets Ellis warmly and tells her that one of her former students has been a boon to the company. Ellis's favorite new piece is a nightlight that you can construct at a cost of only $5.50. Abdur and Ellis point to its glow-in-the-dark stickers and vivid patterns.
You make the nightlight, you cover it with the animal skin pattern, the fur, and then you apply the different doodads.
I would describe it as something carried over from the 60s that I would really like to have, and I would like to build it. It's very, very fun.
We wander upstairs where some of the individual entrepreneurs have booths. We pass by Eric Jonas, who has created the egg game. He sold only 350 last year, and he would like to double that. But it's simple, unique, and a real cooperative game. Two or more people hold a circular disc and spin a marble or metallic egg.
And the goal is simply to keep the egg in motion.
What is the record for one of these spinning?
The record, current record, is 3 hours and 1 minute.
We only do a couple of minutes. Judy's assessment?
I think it's a beautiful design. It's so simple. It would be wonderful for family play.
But it would do better in the gift market than the toy market, she says. Ella says her new toy designers have a great challenge, to take advantage of the new technology, but to keep it in perspective.
As many features as your product has, and it should have a number of features, imaginary play has to be part of the very heart and soul of the product, so that once someone has already been entertained by the features, which are wonderful, they will continue to take this toy, this friend, this whatever this is, on an adventure with them into whatever part of their mind they want to go into.
Only that way, says Ellis, will we, children and adults, hold on to our humanity. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.